Season 5, episode 33. This is your last midweek bonus episode of the year. And the next episode, our weekend episode, will be the last podcast episode of 2023, proving to be a really good one. Yeah, it might even be a little longer than normal because there's some just really good Christmas stupidity. So, and of course, there's a special, let's just say there's going to be an interesting twist in the insane game show with my insane Florida nephew, Pancho Guerrero. So, yeah, we'll end the year with some specially cold stupidity so that it'll leave you wanting more when we start the new year up. And believe me, I've already started collecting stupidity for 2024. Ah, boy, the stupidity never stops, so we never stop. We can't take a break. It would be a stupid thing to do. All the stories that you're going to hear in this podcast are true. None of the names have been changed because we've all done something stupid. St. Eric Lane, and welcome to the midweek bonus episode of My Stupid World. Just remember, if you see something stupid, say something stupid. And if you like the podcast, make sure you rate and review it, because I get five-star stupidity for you. So give it a five-star rating, and maybe even write a review of the podcast. I just might read it in an upcoming episode. Of course, if anything stupid happens at a McDonald's, it's almost a guarantee it's going to show up on this podcast. Indeed. Well, this is the probably the last bonus episode of the year we're coming into Christmas. And, I'm a little tired of the stupidity. Frankly, I need to get a recharge. So I'm going to spend the holidays with my family. Yeah. So, yeah, any case, but that's okay. I can tell you right now, we've already got enough stupidity to start 2024 off with a good start. But there's certainly no better way to end 2023 than a good old-fashioned knockdown dragout at a McDonald's. No question, Pokemon cards are certainly a very valued Happy Meal prize. Probably the most valued prize fans could probably get, right? Now you can get Pokemon cards in your Happy Meal. Actually, the market value of those coveted cards changes all the time, with people eager to collect the whole set. But one man took his love of Pokemon a little too far at a Nova Scotia, Canada McDonald's, having a full-blown meltdown when the worker failed to provide him with his Pokemon card. The man could be seen gesturing to the promotional display advertising the cards before proceeding to demand a refund. He's continuously demanded a refund before proclaiming, "McDonald's, I want to press charges on McDonald's." So he's asking the woman filming the ordeal to put it online as he was being targeted. It didn't take long for things to heat up fast. And eventually a full-blown fight ensued. The manager insisted that there were no Pokemon cards to be had, and the store had just simply run out. Well, a seemingly endless back and forth ensued between the customer and the manager before another customer stepped into the frame and tried to place his order. Well, that clearly irked the old Pokemon card seeker, and punches were thrown between the two men. Chairs were thrown all over the restaurant, and the cops were called. Still didn't get his Pokemon card, though. But you got to catch him while you can, and you got to catch them all. McDonald's caught probably more than they were bargaining for. Well, we still make fun of the story we did several episodes ago between me and my insane Florida nephew, Pancho Guerrero, about the teenage boy that was in the ER because of 16 centimeters of USB cable shoved up his Willy. You know, USB cables come in handy for a lot of things besides that. And if you're driving in winter weather on the freeway, they might be it might be nice to have some extra USB cables on hand, you know, because you have to put chains on your car. It's essential in the wintertime. But if they don't fit the tires, well, that's where USB cables come into play. There's a driver in Washington State was given a pretty hefty fine when it was discovered, well, not only had he improperly fitted chains on his vehicle, but they used a rather dangerous method to fix the issue. Yes, you guessed it, a USB cord. Washington State Patrol troopers spotted the vehicle along I-90's Snoqualmie Pass as a heavy snow was falling in the mountains. Trooper Rick Johnson posted on X, "This driver had chains that were too small and used a USB cord to remedy the issue." Not acceptable, Trooper Johnson posted on X. It was not cheap either. Johnson told Fox Weather the driver was given a $500 ticket for not carrying proper chains, though, like their cord, they were not charged. And it was one of many traffic issues troopers and Washington State Department of Transportation personnel faced with heavy snowstorms hitting the popular travel link between western and eastern Washington, as many other drivers ignored the traction, tire, and chain warnings as well. Guess he figured since it was so tough to get a USB in the hole the right way on the first try that it would also be tough enough to handle a little snow, right? I mean, I tried putting a set of tire chains on my vehicle one time, and honestly, after trying to lock them down over, it took an hour. I just figured just driving off a mountain was a lot faster and far less frustrating. Frankly, I just ditch the chains and just go with studded tires, you know? Well, all right. We talked about a guy losing his sanity over not getting his Pokemon card in his Happy Meal. Here's something maybe a little different. Church's Chicken. They're celebrating the 2023 holiday season, but they're not offering Pokemon cards. They're offering a free fried chicken Christmas ornament with the purchase of any family meal for a limited time. That's right. To take advantage of the offer, just purchase any family meal on the brand app or in restaurant. Should also be noted, the offer is available at participating Church's Chicken locations while supplies last. So please don't get into a full-blown knockdown dragout if they run out. The ornament itself is, well, basically a realistic drumstick, about the size of a chicken wing drumette. Church's Chicken did not provide details on the number of fried chicken ornaments available at each restaurant, but I would suggest checking with your local Church's Chicken to make sure they had some in stock before you go in and make a special trip. And I mean, really, you know, every Christmas tree needs to have a chicken leg hanging from it, you know? Well, here's a question that's going viral after a woman claimed somebody made her the offer for real. The question is, would you sell your dog for $200,000? A TikToker named Alexis Elliott recently got a Doberman puppy that's about 6 months old. Now, she claims someone recently offered to buy the dog for $200,000, and she turned them down. Yeah, she told her husband, no way, because the dog is like her baby. She feels like she birthed it. Okay. Well, she said she'd never sell her dog for any amount of money, but was curious what other people would do. Well, here's Alexis Elliott's TikTok posing the question about her dog.
Someone offered us $200,000 for our puppy, and I told my husband absolutely not because I birthed her. Would you guys sell your dogs for $200,000? Like, that is my baby. That is my baby. I birthed her. That is my child. Like, there's no money. I would not sell her. But it just got me thinking. I'm like, I wonder if people would have taken that $200,000.
So, would you sell your current dog or cat for $200,000? Or do you agree it would feel like selling your kid? I mean, for what it's worth, most people in the TikTok comments said that they'd take the money. By the way, it would actually net you more than $200,000. A new poll found that it now costs an average of $4,800 a year to own a pet. Maybe you'd prefer maybe a pet otter or a pet prairie dog. There's a way to maybe get those, but not this way. Let's just say there are a lot of animals down under, but I'm not talking about Australia. Thailand authorities were totally flabbergasted when they busted a 22-year-old tourist trying to smuggle two otters and a prairie dog through the airport in his trousers. A video depicting the man's rather bold, undercover animal trafficking scheme is currently blowing up online. The Taiwanese traveler had reportedly bought the animals at a market in Bangkok and then proceeded to stuff them into his underwear before arriving at the airport in Bangkok, according to viral press. He was reportedly slated to fly Thai Airways to Taipei, Taiwan. However, authorities caught wind of the man's ham-handed plan after noticing an unusually large bulge wobbling around below the waist. They referred him to the X-ray station, where scans revealed the critter's wriggling down under like a traveling circus in his trousers. Let's just say following his debriefing, the smuggler was detained at the airport and now faces charges of violating Thailand's Customs Act, Animal Epidemics Act, and Animal Conservation and Protection Act. His illicit packages, meanwhile, were handed over to the Wildlife Conservation Office. I just Googled prairies in Thailand to save you the hassle. And just as I suspected, there are no prairies in Thailand. There is, however, a ladyboy bar in Pattaya called Little House on the Prairie, where the entertainers wear burlap sack dresses and spit tobacco juice on the floor. If you think for one moment that shoving a prairie dog in your pants is an acceptable way for them to travel, well, you're wrong. Everybody knows they live in holes underground, which means you gotta shove them up your butt for them to be really comfy. Well, there's a 43-year-old St. Louis, Missouri man who's accused of stealing electrical transformers and then selling them for scrap, telling the cops in one case that an individual with the Naval Criminal Investigative Service told him to do so. Really? Yeah, St. Louis Circuit Attorneys charged Vincent Groves with two counts of tampering with the service of a utility, two counts of first-degree property damage, and stealing over $750. According to the probable cause statement, Groves was linked to the theft of tampering with one of three electrical transformers there in the city. An investigation showed he was dismantling the devices in his backyard and selling them for scrap. In the first incident, Groves is accused of taking a transformer in the 1200 block of St. Louis Avenue, which was left by the utility company next to a pole as it was scheduled to be installed. Now, according to the statement, when the cops questioned him about the theft, Groves told the officers an individual from NCIS told him to do so. Police later found a utility pole on Magazine Street damaged and a transformer missing, and a witness told officers they saw two men pull up in an SUV and cut the pole down with a saw and take the device. And then the following day, police found yet another pole cut down and the transformer taken. Police were able to use a description of the SUV to locate Groves, who was identified as the suspect in the photo lineup, according to the statement. Police said in charging documents, the transformers contain a large amount of oil inside and a large amount of spilled oil, and Groves' backyard indicated he was emptying the devices before they sold them. Receipts for hundreds of pounds of metal and copper sold at recycling centers were discovered in Groves' possession. But no trace of that NCI officer that gave him the permission. Well, there's a lot of folks that really appreciate the past. I mean, I enjoy going back into the past, and I've got a nice Zenith radio that my grandmother sold to me for $10 when I was in middle school. It's an old tube Zenith radio from 1948. Last time I checked it, still worked. But then there is Caleb Grubb. Caleb is 19 years old, but he lives his whole life as if it was back in the 1940s. Nearly everything he owns is from that time period, including his clothes. Now, he's a UK teen that drives a black 1938 Austin Cambridge, only uses a telephone from the 1940s, and rides a 1952 Raleigh bicycle. He said, I joke to my friend that it's gone beyond an obsession. I'm as old-fashioned as they come. I mean, I've heard of people being an old soul, but boy, this is really taking it all the way. Caleb's car is 10 years older than his grandmother, Anne, who he has lived with at her home in Kirkcaldy, Fife, since he was 12. And while 75-year-old Anne regularly uses a mobile phone, her grandson does not even own one. I'm rubbish with technology. I was forced to have a laptop for college, and I hated it. McCollum said that he fell in love with the 40s during his first year of high school. He says, I've always loved history. When I was younger, I looked at my great-granddad's prisoner of war diaries, and I just love everything about the period. He now collects everything related to the period, like oil lamps, a vintage record player that he uses to listen to his favorites, like Vera Lynn, Ann Shelton, and Frank Sinatra. He says, I couldn't tell you a modern singer if you ask me. However, Cullum told the BBC's Good Morning Scotland via his 1940s Bakelite rotary dial telephone that there is one thing from the post-war period he definitely does not do. We do not ration. I like my food too much for that. Well, Cullum's latest addition to his vintage collection is his car, that 1938 Austin Cambridge named Poppy. He says he's been saving up for a purchase since he was 13. His mother, Claire, said, Callum just came to me and told me I want an old Austin. I didn't think it would ever happen. He bought the car for $8,791 from a man he met while visiting a museum. Callum said, it has no seat belts, but I absolutely love it. He has the original invoice showing the car that cost only $270 back in 1938. Now, that's an equivalent of about $22,600 today. It's not illegal to drive a classic car without seat belts, and Callum has driven it nearly every day since he's got it. He says it's like you're back in time, especially whenever you get into the old country roads. The car survived the Blitz in London, but it can only reach 50 miles per hour, and even that's pushing it. It's great to drive. There's always a clear road ahead, but behind a sea of traffic, but folks don't tend to mind. Callum is regularly seen around Kirkcaldy in his car, and he's become a local celebrity. He was even invited by a local bakery to park his car outside the front of the store for a grand opening. And Callum says people of all ages wave at the car, old and young alike. But he regularly takes the car further afield than Kirkcaldy. He says, we love to run along the coast in the old car, my friend Lindsay and I. I usually stop at the antique shops along the way because it can be hard to get some of my clothes. My grand dreads me coming home because she knows I'll end up bringing something back with me. Callum says people are used to being shocked whenever he said that he did not have a mobile phone. He says, I keep very busy, I assure you. He spends a lot of time with his car, maintaining and servicing it. When Callum isn't with his car, he's out with friends or working at the local dog kennels. He says he's got friends of all ages, although he admits he shares more in common with people much older than him. He says, I always get to chat with older people. They tell me they remember their dad or granddad with the car whenever they were my age. Callum's grandmother, Ann Walker, says her house has become the epicenter for Callum's collections. She says, I wake up to a picture of Winston Churchill and an old vintage car. Callum has lived at his gram's house since he was 12, and about after his granddad John suddenly passed away, he's kept her company ever since. The 75-year-old granny says, I've learned more about history from Callum than I've ever known. We've always watched old films together. He's in love with Ginger Rogers. Callum's mom, Claire, is a nursery officer at the Fife Council, says that she's always supported his decision. Said, Callum went away on a school trip when he was about 12 and came back with an old-fashioned hat on. I thought it was funny. I just asked him, where did you get find this? And he said, that's the way I want to dress. This is going to be me. Ever since then, that's just been Callum. Claire says Callum is doing great, and she's watched him blossom into a 1940s gentleman. Callum says he can't understand why people's fascination with his collection. He says, you never think you're that interesting. This is just my life. A lot of these cars sit in a museum and are never used, but that's not what they're for. They're meant to be used, so that's what I'm doing, and it's good to see the reaction. I always go by and beep the horn. It's amazing. A 19-year-old living back in the 1940s. He must be the only one like that. This must be the only woman like this. She's a Nashville woman suing a restaurant that's right next to her house. And she claims the smoke from cooking the barbecue interferes with the enjoyment of her home. What? Yeah, one question now before the court is whether the smell of the grilling and smoked meats qualifies as a nuisance. The lunch rush is busy at Roy's Meat Service on 19th Street in East Nashville. And for the past 9 years, Jeff Roy has been serving up takeout meals from his market. The menu stays pretty much the same every day, and the top items changes. The rest stays the same, as you know, Roy says. Now, regulars like country singer Maggie Ross come for more than the food, but not everybody's happy. This woman moved into the house backing up to Roy's 2 years prior. She alleges, among other things, that part of the store encroaches on her property and smoke from his constant grilling is a nuisance. Well, here is the owner, Jeff, defending his business.
Well, we smoke about 5 days a week. I just put my foot down. I said, look, that's all we're going to do. I'm through. We can't do anything else. You do what you got to do. It was just a little country store, you know, right here in the middle of East Nashville. And we want people to feel it when they come in that it's a family-run business.
He adds that he complies with the codes, and for the past year, he says he spent a lot of time and money trying to address his neighbor's complaints with no success. The neighbor has filed a lawsuit claiming the store affects her ability to enjoy her property as well as negatively affects her health. Roy says she wanted to shut his place down. He says that they're not going anywhere. The plaintiff, Natalie Castillo, and her attorney declined to comment on the story and said their lawsuit speaks for itself. Many of those in the neighborhood talk about how much Roy gives back. In fact, the state of Tennessee proclaimed Jeff Roy after he fed the whole neighborhood following a 2020 tornado that hit East Nashville. Probably fed them all barbecue that he grilled and cooked himself and probably had the whole neighborhood smelling like cooked meat. You know what? I'd be willing to trade places with that woman any day. Well, there's a 38-year-old Florida man who allegedly set one of his shoes on fire to stay warm, and then drunkenly passed out, leaving the fire unattended. Michael Dubberly was arrested and charged with disorderly intoxication and recreational fires after the incident that unfolded outside a real estate office. When officers arrived at the scene, they found Dubberly passed out cold in front of the building with his shoe fully engulfed in flames right in front of him. Fortunately, he wasn't wearing it. The fire was located less than 5 feet from the front entrance of the building. It was extinguished by the officer. And lying next to Dubberly were a few cans of alcoholic beverages. One was empty, one was half full, and a third was unopened, according to police. And police also said Dubberly built a warming fire, then left it unattended by passing out while there were still visible flames and smoke. He was taken into custody and said he started the fire just to keep warm and said he drank one of Mike's Hard Lemonade's Tall Boys. Police noted that Dubberly was not steady on his feet and was hard to understand when he spoke. They also said they could smell a strong odor of alcoholic beverage coming from him. Yeah, this guy is definitely going to pay a serious price. Yeah, you know, I mean, getting caught drinking Mike's Hard Lemonade, his man card's going to be revoked. Yeah, his shoe was on fire, but he passed out drunk. And so you just might say this guy got lit in more ways than one. Well, gunfire nearly missed four Massachusetts residents living in a Northampton apartment. Documents filed in the Northampton District Court said that the gunfire came from an AK-47-style rifle. The 29-year-old man that was accused of shooting the weapon told Northampton police detectives that his dog told him to fire the rifle. The bullets were fired from inside his apartment on Wright Avenue and into his apartment's neighbor's apartment, which are both in the same building with shared walls and a front porch. Joshua Martinelli of Northampton pleaded not guilty to a total of 17 charges in Northampton District Court, including four counts of attempted murder and four counts of assault with a dangerous weapon. He's being held without bail pending a dangerousness hearing. Now, the four neighbors were on the second floor of their apartment, and they dove to the ground to take cover once bullets started flying through the wall. It was only later that one of the neighbors discovered a bullet hole in their pants that passed near through their backside. The Northampton Police Department should be commended for their rapid response to an extremely volatile situation, said Northwestern Assistant DA Andrew Covington. Responding officers quickly apprehended the defendant and protected the public from any further harm. Fortunately, nobody was killed or even injured by this defendant's dangerous conduct, and no defense attorneys have yet been listed for Martinelli. Jeez. I mean, he'd be better off just shooting off his mouth.
Hey! get up close and personal with my stupid world by interacting with the podcast through Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World's Telegram channel. I post the actual articles used in the podcast episodes every weekend from the week's collection of stupidity. When you join the channel, you'll get to read the actual stories, see the actual photos, or watch the actual videos from the stupidity that is talked about in each episode. And you can even make comments about what you read or seen, even comments with your suggestions or opinions about what I've talked about. You can even share the links to some of the stupid stories that you've encountered. Visit t.me/insaneericlane. That's t.me/insaneericlane to see a preview of the channel and download Telegram Messenger, the app to your smartphone. It's also available in desktop versions as well, and it's supported on Windows, Linux, Apple, and Android platforms. Telegram is a secure messaging app that's gaining in popularity. You can learn more by visiting telegram.org.
And now, from the news desk of Insane Eric Lane, it's the Week in Review.
Democratic presidential candidate Dean Phillips said the GOP House impeachment inquiry into President Biden's possible role in Hunter Biden's overseas business deals could make the current president unelectable. Well, that or the fact that Joe talks more ghosts than a psychic. Phillips said he would vote against the Republican impeachment inquiry, but noted revelations involving Biden and his son could hurt him in 2024. He's not sure how many Dems will vote for it, but it'll probably be roughly, what, 10% for the big guy? Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy was caught on a hot mic using the bathroom during a Wild X Spaces live stream alongside the likes of Elon Musk. Let's just say that Vivek truly put the stream in live stream. And a recent poll in the UK posed the ultimate holiday season question. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? And the people over there across the pond had to be reminded that it is not a movie about a dude who overdosed on Viagra. Well, actually, 38% said yes, it was. 39% said no, it wasn't. 23% said they didn't know. So it turns out the UK is probably more divided on this issue than Americans are about, well, everything. The black bear ran through a group of skiers at a California resort, and one man caught the whole thing with a Bruin on the camera. The skiers described the encounter as even scarier than the price of the day pass. And Cleveland Browns star Myles Garrett ripped the referees following his team's win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Pro athletes these days, you know, whine and cry so much that Gatorade bottles are now being replaced with baby bottles. Garrett said, "The officiating was honestly awful," which coincidentally is what Browns fans have been saying about the team for a few decades. Joe Flacco has also been named the Browns' starting quarterback for the rest of the season after beating Jacksonville, and the Browns fans would be really super excited if that year was 2012. And according to a new survey conducted by Pew Research Center, despite growing worries that social media can harm youth's mental health, teens still use majority platforms at high rates. But the thing is, see, for your mental health to be affected, you must actually have a brain. An on-camera discussion for an Australian podcast was interrupted when a large snake emerged from the roof behind the participant's back. But as any Aussie woman will tell you, it's not uncommon to find a large snake down under. Yeah, the snake is actually the hero, mainly because he somehow made a podcast interesting. When asked if his 2023 cameo was his final appearance as Bruce Wayne, George Clooney confirmed quite simply, "Oh yeah," which is sad because that means we'll never get to see the bat nipples again. Jennifer Aniston revealed she didn't use any intimacy coordinator when filming her morning show sex scene with Jon Hamm. Instead, she just did what every other woman does and faked it all on her own. Horrified spectators watched as three referees at a Colorado youth basketball game threw punches and tackled each other in the middle of a court. Jeez, refs these days make such bad calls or even beating each other up. And a Democratic state representative said she would not vote for President Biden or Vice President Harris in 2024, even after visiting Harris's home for a holiday party, which is honestly the best Christmas gift that she could give the people who had elected her. If the election were held today, I would not be voting for Biden, State Representative Medina Wilson Anton told Politico. And you just know that Biden and Harris would put coal in her stocking if they weren't so against fossil fuels. Former President Bill Clinton privately criticized his wife Hillary's failed 2016 presidential campaign. He complained to a friend that it couldn't sell pussy on a poop train. Of course, if anyone knows anything about getting action, it's in non-traditional places, it's probably Wild Bill. And a new survey finds that All I Want for Christmas Is You is the most annoying Christmas song. But look, Happy Christmas, The War Is Over by John Lennon would also like a word. The Chipmunk song, Christmas Don't Be Late, came in number two, which does make sense because that tune truly is a pile of number two. Yeah, yeah. When most people hear those chipmunks, they immediately call the exterminator. And a new study reveals that members of Gen Z perceive more dangers in life than previous generations. They have to, you know, work really hard to stay positive. Just kidding. Yeah, they don't work really hard at all at anything. The owners of a California museum dedicated to all things rabbit-related earned a Guinness World Records title for their 40,550-piece collection. They reportedly beat out the previous record holders by a hair. Candace Frazee and Steve Lebansky said their collection began in 1993 when Lebansky gifted her a white plush bunny for their first Valentine's Day as a couple. And ever since that moment, these two really went down the rabbit hole. And the Golden Globes continued to search for a host after multiple comedians, including Chris Rock and Ali Wong, declined. Turned out every person in the industry wants nothing to do with a lame award show. I mean, can you believe they actually asked Chris Rock? That's a real slap in the face. Golden State Warriors forward Draymond Green found himself in hot water after he wildly swung his arm and connected with the face of Phoenix Suns center Yusuf Nurkic, which made Suns fans especially angry because Californians have already done enough to destroy Arizona. He'll almost certainly be suspended. So, you know, if you now want to see something get beat up in California, you have to follow fans leaving the arena and walking back to their cars. The White House's annual Christmas video featured this tap dance performance of a timeless ballet, and it was panned roundly by social media critics, as well as called tacky and tasteless. Yeah, I mean, look, if somehow it received an even lower approval rating than the president. President Biden defended the video, though. He thought it was a great way to celebrate the 4th of July. And a holiday picnic from West Virginia depicted a lit-up Christmas decoration that featured a reindeer driving a truck and a grandma running away from him. Of course, in a state like West Virginia, the song goes, Grandma got run over by a Chevy. I'm sure grandmas in West Virginia can relate to the one in the song who got run over because they all likely have no teeth left. And a family in Australia got the shock of their lives after their young child found a deadly snake slithering underneath their Christmas tree. After discovering this, the family will never complain about crappy gifts under the tree ever again. Most people are used to having a scary creature in their home during the holidays, but usually it's just their mother-in-law. Legendary actor Dick Van Dyke was seen heading for a workout on the eve of his 98th birthday. You know, Dick better be careful or he'll be putting the dead in deadlifts. Of course, it's no surprise that Dick still goes to the gym because at 98 years old, he needs access to the locker room, so he has a place to walk around naked. Oprah Winfrey being slammed by fans when she confirmed using a weight loss drug to help her shed pounds while she was an ambassador for Weight Watchers. She dropped the weight, but nothing will drop quite like Weight Watchers stock after this. Now, Oprah's just trying to get fans back on her side by, you know, dishing out freebies. You know, hey, you get Ozempic, and you get Ozempic, and you get Ozempic. Draymond Green was suspended indefinitely by the NBA when he got ejected for swinging at Phoenix Suns center Yusuf Nurkic. Some people now say he should go to where all the washed-up has-beens with bad attitudes go, the L.A. Lakers. And that tacky Christmas video from Jill Biden continues to draw mockery online. People are somehow making fun of the video even more than the footage of the president trying to speak. Joe wouldn't let all of these Grinches destroy the spirit of the holiday, though. He's still out and about wishing everybody a Merry Easter. According to a new survey, 79% of people agree that if they're having a bad day, they'll just watch something that makes them nostalgic to feel better, such as the news before Joe Biden became president. And a Cincinnati resident celebrated their 105th birthday by drinking Fireball whiskey and watching the Bengals game, which is kind of incredible because you'd think she'd need something way stronger to make it through a Bengals game. Of course, Bengals fans were amazed she made it to 105, mainly because being a fan of that team usually leads you to an early grave. And Wonka made $14.4 million on opening day at the domestic box office. You know, people that eat too much chocolate can't see their own willy, so they decided to check this one out. Of course, the story about the dude who starts a chocolate factory is going to make tons of dough. I mean, after all, he's living the fat American dream. And 84-year-old Mari Povich and his 77-year-old spouse, Connie Chung, packed on the PDA as they enjoyed a rare public outing together at the Daytime Emmy Awards in Los Angeles. Jeez, these two are getting so frisky. We're supposed Maury hasn't yelled out, "I am your daddy." And dozens of professional pickleball players have formed a collective to voice their concerns about recent pay cuts and the future of the sport. Now, this is stunning. You know, there are actually people who actually get paid to play pickleball. Of course, in a letter obtained by CNBC, the collective shared their dissatisfaction with how they have been treated by Major League Pickleball and the Pro Pickleball Association Tour. Some of them feel as if they have no choice but to go learn how to play a real sport. And a car recently barreled into a parked SUV protecting the president's motorcade as the commander-in-chief was leaving his campaign headquarters in Delaware. But luckily, Joe was fine because he was wearing his special needs helmet. The president had a look of complete bewilderment on his face, and then the accident happened. Usually, the only accident that happens is in his pants. And those pickleball players in Wichita, Kansas got rather festive with an ugly sweater tournament. Ugly sweaters are now so out of control that even people playing fake sports are wearing them. And finally, after their loss to the Buffalo Bills, former NFL star and current commentator Rob Gronkowski said the Dallas Cowboys are not a mentally tough football team. Their brains are definitely soft, but that's mainly from being turned into mush after repeated hits. The Cowboys are always seeming to be getting obliterated on the road, so at least their fans won't have to witness the first-round playoff loss in person. Hey! Hey! Stupid world! Dum, 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 dum. I'm open to talking about anything, but love talking about surviving in the stupidity that's always around us. And if you're insane enough to ask, I'm insane enough to reply. I'd love to hear from you either by leaving a voice message or a written message. And you can even do that at podcast.insaneericlane.com. Leave any comment you have from a podcast or even a question you have. I'll be happy to address either one. Your questions or comments might even be played and or even talked about in a future podcast episode. And if you or someone you know would like to join in on a podcast, you're more than welcome to participate. You can download the Spotify for Podcasters app on your phone, and you can do that just as simple as a phone call. Or I can even send you a link that you can actually participate from the website. You can download the app to your favorite app store and add that podcast to your favorites. You can also email me with comments, questions, requests at shoutout@insaneericlane.com. And of course, should you certainly subscribe to the podcast if you listen on Apple, iHeart, Breaker, Google, Verbo, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify, or whatever podcast platform you're listening to. Don't forget to follow me also on Facebook and X. Just look up the handle @InsaneEricLane.
Underneath this genius, I'm simply a human.
It's like a caveman thing or something.
And now this week's Genius Award.
And in this week's Genius Awards, a 43-year-old Florida man was arrested after he allegedly fired off several shots during a neighborhood Christmas parade because he became agitated at what the parade goers were doing. Douglas Moore was arrested and charged with 6 counts of aggravated assault with a firearm, reckless discharge of a firearm, and using a firearm while under the influence of alcohol after the incident that unfolded in Middleburg, Florida. As the Middleburg Christmas parade was underway, deputies and SWAT team members responded to a location along the parade route after several gunshots were heard.
According to deputies, Moore became agitated by the activities generated by parade attendees. That's when he discharged a pistol several times while walking onto the property where a group of people were. The arrest affidavit noted that no victims or witnesses ever entered Moore's property. Deputies said that when they approached the back of the property, they saw several people yelling at the suspect, identified as Moore, at the property line. They were demanding to know why he was shooting a gun at them. When Moore allegedly refused to comply with deputies' orders to get on the ground, he was then taken to the ground by force and put into custody. Deputies also observed Moore's slurred speech and bloodshot, watery eyes. Moore was transported to the Clay County Jail. Look, everybody loves taking shots during the holidays, but most people just stick with liquor. Luckily, nobody was hurt, although I'm sure a few of the parents dragged to the parade would have cared, you know. And then there's this. A 33-year-old Missouri man has been charged after he allegedly stabbed a Panda Express employee and punched another worker over the quality of his food. It happened at a Richmond Heights restaurant location where Philip Person reportedly was unhappy with his food and wanted a refund. He then attacked, allegedly, two employees by stabbing one in the lower back and punching the second one in the head. The suspect left the restaurant in a work truck prior to police finding him and arresting him. Police said they found the knife that Person allegedly used when they arrested him. The manager at the Panda Express told the media outlet that Person had already eaten half of his food and did not have a receipt when he demanded the refund and called him and other workers' names and threatened to shoot them. The manager said Person left after Panda Express replaced his food but then came back and threw it at him. Person allegedly then attacked workers after they took him outside. Now he's facing felony assault and weapons charges. Investigators say a knife was taken in as evidence. I mean, who the heck gets upset at the quality of Panda Express? That would be like getting upset at White Castle for giving you explosive diarrhea. I mean, he was really mad that the food sucked, so let's just hope that he never goes and eats at Denny's. Or how about this? A Japanese man trying to kill a single cockroach inadvertently turned into a firebug when he blew up his own apartment, according to officials. The epic pest control fail was reported in the city of Kumamoto, which is on the island of Kyushu, about 230 miles southwest of Hiroshima. Sometime before midnight, a 54-year-old man spotted a solitary cockroach inside his apartment in the city's Chu Ward and sprayed massive amounts of insecticide to wipe out the critter, according to the Mancini Shinbun newspaper, citing the Kumamoto Prefectural Police. Well, a minute later, an explosion went off, blowing out a balcony window. The unfortunate resident suffered a minor injury in the blast. An investigation into the fiery incident had uncovered burn marks near the victim's kotatsu, a Japanese heating table. Now, the National Consumer Affairs Center of Japan has said it's received multiple reports of explosions that have been linked to insecticide being sprayed near electrical outlets. At first, people thought the guy was nuts. But when they heard he was trying to kill a roach, blowing up his apartment suddenly sounded totally reasonable. Of course, it was highly unusual. Yeah, I mean, this is not what you think would happen when you hear that somebody is lighting up a roach. And what about this? Authorities have arrested two women wanted for assault in Maryland after throwing food and a chair at a worker inside a Chipotle restaurant. That incident unfolded around 10 p.m. at the Chipotle in the 900 block of Ellsworth Drive in Silver Spring. The female suspect were seen on surveillance video inside the restaurant while conversing with an employee at the counter. The suspects then turned to walk away as the video cut to another angle showing the women speaking with a worker near the tables. The worker appeared to be cleaning the restaurant ahead of closing time when one of the suspects threw her drink at the employee. The other woman then picked up a chair and threw it toward the worker. The first suspect was also seen picking up and flinging a chair at the worker as well. Police did not provide additional details about the circumstances that led to the alleged second-degree assault at the Chipotle. Officers described both suspects as black females. One suspect was wearing a black hooded sweatshirt, blue shorts, and orange slippers, and the other was described as having a black long hair and wearing a long white coat, leggings, and brown boots. Police asked for the public's help in identifying the suspects, and they're offering a reward of up to $10,000 for information leading to the arrest of the suspects. Now, look, it's not every day you hear about a major disturbance inside a Chipotle, unless, of course, we're talking about the bathroom. I mean, throwing Chipotle at someone is incredibly dangerous. I mean, almost as dangerous as that food actually entering your body. And you got to check this one out. A 30-year-old Florida man was arrested after allegedly shooting at employees who asked him to pay for a $15 bottle of wine from a local CVS. According to the Orange County Sheriff's Office, Dylan Mosley was arrested and charged with armed robbery, discharging a firearm in public, 2 counts of attempted second-degree murder, and 2 counts of aggravated assault with a firearm. The man reportedly shot at 2 employees after they confronted him at the store's parking lot for grabbing a bottle of wine and leaving the store without paying for it, according to the arrest affidavit. "I felt like he was trying to kill us and pointed the gun straight in our direction and shot," said one of the CVS employees, according to the affidavit. Mosley allegedly turned around when the employee asked him if he planned to pay for the wine and then fired a round in their direction. At least 2 gunshots were heard, and according to the affidavit, deputies found Mosley with a Dark Horse red wine bottle worth $15 and a 9mm handgun close to the scene. After both employees positively ID'd him, he was arrested and transported to the Orange County Jail. The 2 employees told the officials that they planned to pursue charges. Mosley was taken into custody on $30,500 bond. Look, all of this over a $15 bottle of wine? He created more of a headache than the cheap booze ever could. I mean, where he's going, he'll still have plenty of wine, though. I mean, toilet wine, that is. And you'll never believe this one. A man who either hadn't stopped drinking or was looking to hit the bottle early was caught on camera sneaking into a Florida apartment and stealing the ingredients to make him a morning screwdriver. The Polk County Sheriff's Department said the unidentified intruder entered a secondary door of an apartment around 5:30 in the morning on Thanksgiving. Surveillance footage shared by the department shows the booze thief wearing a maroon shirt and blue jeans quietly creaking open the door and slipping inside. Moments later, the video shows him emerging with a bottle of, aptly, Florida's natural orange juice, about 3/4 full, a handle of Svedka lemonade vodka in his arms. He closes the door gingerly behind him and looks around, stumbling on his feet at one point before he saunters off. The total value of the theft, about $35, according to police. The victim told investigators they hardly used the door the thief entered the apartment through and were not really sure why it was not locked. The man also tried to open a door to the apartment across the hallway, but it was locked, so he left, according to the sheriff's office. Police have asked anyone that recognizes the man to contact the office. Now, the guy obviously made a huge mistake. I mean, he should have stolen grapefruit juice and vodka because Palomas are way better. He broke into this apartment just to steal, what, Svedka? I mean, the only thing worse than his decision-making is his taste. Okay, one more. After purchasing a meatball sandwich for his nephew, a 45-year-old Florida man poured Visine all over the food, which was later partially consumed by his relative, according to the police, who arrested the man on felony poisoning charges. Investigators say James Leach was at a market near his Pinellas Park home when he asked an employee for a bottle of Visine due to having dry eyes. Upon securing the Visine, Leach allegedly opened the container of food and proceeded to pour the eyedrop solution all over the meatball sandwich inside. When the worker declared that the liquid could hurt someone, well, Leach reportedly replied that it would only cause the victim to, quote, crap himself and puke his brains out. Visine's active ingredient, which is tetrahydrazoline hydrochloride, can actually be lethal if ingested. After receiving a 911 call from the market, police reviewed the store security footage, which clearly showed Leach dousing the meatball sandwich with Visine. So when the police subsequently arrived at Leach's home, he declined to answer questions and requested a lawyer. The victim said he had only consumed a small portion of the sandwich before the cops showed up and was unaware that Visine had even been added to his meal. Leach was charged with poisoning food or water, a felony for which he could be locked up in lieu of $50,000 bond. The guy, what, achieved the seemingly impossible, somehow made a meatball sub even more dangerous than Subway's. This sandwich will absolutely destroy your stomach, that's for sure. I mean, after eating it, you'll need more toilet paper than your average Taco Bell run. Hey, your New Year's resolution, share the stupidity, okay? Or subscribe to the podcast, rate and review it. Give it a good 5-star rating because, look, we're delivering 5-star stupidity here. And, you know, when you rate and review the podcast, it'll help it show up more prominently in searches when people are searching for stupidity. And don't forget, you can eliminate the buffering when you're streaming the podcast over poor cell or Wi-Fi coverage simply by downloading every episode to your podcast player. And Podcast Addict is the app I use and recommend for optimum performance. Totally free. but they do have two types of paid versions as well. Plus, you know that in addition to this midweek episode, there is the weekend episode featuring my insane Florida nephew, Pancho Guerrero, and we bring you more stupidity from Florida and beyond. And Pancho will answer your questions as well with his sage wisdom. You can literally ask Pancho about anything. You can also see how well you can do by testing your skill against Pancho during the Insane Game Show. Every week after both of the episodes are published, I post the articles that were used on both episodes, and you can read them on Telegram Messenger when you join the Insane Eric Lane Stupid World channel there. You can comment about them and share them with friends. You can post comments or suggestions about the podcast as well. You can preview the channel and get a link to download the Telegram Messenger app at t.me/insaneericlane. t.me/insaneericlane. It's free. And it's available in desktop or mobile versions for Windows, Linux, Android, or Apple platforms. And don't forget to follow me on social media using the handle at Insane Eric Lane on Facebook or X. Or just head over to my website, InsaneEricLane.com. And finally, ponder this, won't you? Remember, no matter how disgusting and unwanted you feel, there are carnivorous animals out there that would think you're absolutely wonderful.
Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World is produced with the support from EnvisionWise, LLC, and AmeriCountry.com, from Wise Brother Media, Universal Comedy at the United Stations Radio Network, SheetHappens.com, Good Parts Media, and Mr. Laughs.
Theme music from Randy Stonehill. It's a Great Big Stupid World. Copyright 1992 Stonehillian Music. Word Music, Twitch and Vibes Music, and is available anywhere you purchase music.
Thanks for making it to the end of Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World. Please be sure to seek therapy to ensure you still have your wits with you. And if this has inspired you to try your hand at making a podcast, you can do it absolutely free with Spotify for Podcasters. The editing and music library are at your fingertips with Spotify for Podcasters. Download the app from your favorite app store.